Memory Static is a listener-supported podcast. Your contributions really make a difference in helping us keep the show going. So please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/memorystatic. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Memory Static, the podcast that finds the movies you loved when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. I'm the host, Bailey Moore, and we have a special event planned for tonight. We've changed venues this time around, and we're having this party at Guanyin Tea House in Austin. So if you like tea and live in Austin, definitely come check this place out. And I have joining me tonight, not one, not two, but three special guests, the co-founders of Austin-based Hyperreal Film Club, David McMichael, Jenny Kay, and Tanner Hadfield. Welcome, y'all.
What's
up, static heads?
Oh, I like that. can you share with our listeners a little bit about Hyperreal Film Club, what y'all are working on, and how to find y'all?
Yeah, for sure. We'd probably all say different things about it, but
that's great.
But we're trying to unify. So what we do is we show movies in unusual locations that we
much like this one.
Yeah, much like this one. There's for y'all at home here. There's lots of cool lights blinking all around the room that are all different colors. We're sitting on a nice rug. There's some like paper globes in the ceiling, but we like that sort
and
of stuff.
And welcome back to David Explains the Room.
episode one. But yeah, so we show movies in like pop-up locations. We're on Instagram at Hyperreal Film Club. Right now we have a horror series that we're doing.
Yes. Every Wednesday at Analark, we are showing a free movie. We have sometimes free pizza, always free drinks, sometimes free photo booths. And yeah, this month our theme is 90s high school horror. So we're playing all high school horror movies. Yeah.
Yeah, and we always screen like a local filmmaker's short ahead of whatever movies we show. Because that's really important to us to like stimulate artistic community and help people get shine for like going out on a limb and like making cool stuff.
I think that's really great. I've been to a few of your events, and it's always really fun. The best place to find y'all is on Instagram?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where we have the most of our like information and most updates.
Great. Well, so all three together, see if we can do this. What movie are we going to be watching tonight?
Harriet the Spy.
What was that you said?
Oh, I thought we were watching Goose Hunters.
Goose Hunters.
Yeah. That's close.
Okay. Oh, we're watching Harriet the Spy. Yes.
Harriet the Spy. For the first episode of Here's the Outfits that David is looking at, Jenny has a yellow raincoat that she's wearing, reminiscent of the titular character, Miss Harriet.
Don't forget my center part.
Oh, she's also got a center
part.
Oh my
gosh, you do.
She looks just like Harriet, honestly.
You do look like Harriet. Thank you. And we were all supposed to come in disguise.
Are you talking about your middle split?
So, like, it's an excellent disguise.
My middle split?
Yeah. What is the center part?
A 90s
Wait,
thing.
What's a middle split?
When your right hair down the goes center down the middle.
Your hair goes down the middle like a mohawk?
I was just picturing you doing, like, the splits down the middle.
Sorry.
A center part is a middle split.
Right.
In your backwards language.
Yeah. But what is... Okay, never mind.
It's not a zigzag split.
Straight line right down the center of the head. Super 90s.
Yes.
Very not flattering to any head shape.
No. So, yes, Harriet the Spy, which is starring Michelle Trachtenberg, Rosie O'Donnell, and Eartha Kitt.
Which one is Harriet?
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh my God, wow. I just remembered Eartha Kitt is in this.
Yes, she is.
I love her so much. Eartha Kitt. I didn't know who she was when we saw this movie.
Like
this
singer,
is exciting.
Right? Yeah, I didn't know who she was either. Uh-huh. What did you say?
The singer.
Singer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. She's amazing.
Yes, she's an incredible singer.
Mm.
And
we all know a lot about her.
Well, I can picture her music videos right now, the one where she like meows like a cat and she's going after men.
Well, she also sang Santa Baby.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yes. And she was one of the voices in Emperor's New Groove. And
wow,
she's a Renaissance woman.
Yes.
Wait, was she like Esme? Is
yes.
that her?
Yzma.
God.
Thank Yzma you. Eric.
Cool.
So just real quick, for anybody wanting to watch this movie at home, at the time that we're recording this, Harriet the Spy is not available as part of any major streaming service. I think that's the Time Machine.
Oh my God.
It's
I'm
not
ready
functioning.
Yet.
We had to make some updates, so sorry about that. But I was able to rent it on Amazon Prime. And for the purposes of this party, I bought the DVD. So,
physical
is it orange?
Forever.
Well, I think the case is orange. No.
Did it come with invisible ink markers like the VHS did?
It didn't come with anything cool.
Remember when movies came with prizes?
Yes, or like a coupon for something.
Yeah.
Right, a coupon.
Like Indiana Jones and the last one, the Last Crusade, came with a coupon for Indiana Jones themed Diet Coke.
For real?
Yeah.
The last one was the Crystal Skull.
Oh, well, that one came with a coupon for Crystal Skulls.
Okay.
Coupon.
I've been looking for a Crystal Skull. I could have used a discount.
The vodka. It comes in a Crystal Skull.
You either say coupon that or coupon. One. And today I learned David says coupon.
Coupon.
Do y'all remember what the VHS looked like?
Yeah, it was orange.
Yeah, it was orange.
It was orange. And yeah, mine came with the little the pens. They were like invisible ink pens.
That is really cool. I don't remember that.
The same way, because I remember Free Willy, which I also got around the same time, maybe, came with a plastic version of that wooden whale necklace that he gets.
Really?
The prizes.
Yeah.
They were great.
It's like the prizes with cereal boxes. They don't really do that anymore either.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But how long has it been since y'all have seen this movie?
Like 15 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I think I haven't seen it since I was like 10.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
So since it's been a while,
I forgot
for,
how old I am. It's,
we just said 15 years, but I don't actually know how old I was 15 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, whenever 15? I was 10.
14?
Yes. So 20 years.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
This is a demonstration of our groupthink. We have one thought between us that we all access. We like open a door into a room and there's a bulb in the middle that we touch. It shoots numbers out at us. It's only for numbers.
Wait, is Tanner the bulb?
So how do you interpret those numbers?
Interpret them.
Oh, okay.
The number is actually always 15.
It is. Always 15. But it means something different every time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been a while for all of y'all. Could one of you, even though it might be kind of difficult, summarize the movie in like...
Absolutely. Harriet the Spy is a psychopath bully. And she is really mean to all of her friends and she calls them poor and she tells one kid with socks, I think, to kill himself. And yet somehow she's just like a rich, privileged B-I-T-C-H. I'm so sorry. But for some reason, when I was a child, I didn't realize any of this until today when I watched the trailer and I was like, oh my God, Harry is an awful human being.
Okay. Well, I'm anxious to see like, what your experience was after the movie to see like how you're taking it in afterward, because I don't want to say anything right now because I watched it recently.
Okay.
On that.
I had this realization after watching the trailer today, I did think that it was a wholesome film about friendship and Rosie O'Donnell's really cool backyard. That's all I remember.
Yeah. The main thing I remember about the movie is Harriet cutting off her friend's ponytail in class. That image is burned into my brain, and
I don't remember that at all.
It's a really mean thing to do.
It's so mean. It's
she's like, just hard boiled. She's a hard boiled detective.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that was a pretty good summary. For
and tomato mayonnaise.
Seen. Oh yes, that also needs to be included in your summary.
That's all you need to know.
So mean bully.
She's a mean bully with disgusting taste for food.
So y'all picked this movie together, which I feel like must have been kind of a difficult process because y'all have different childhoods, y'all have different memories and different favorite movies, I'm sure. Yeah. How did y'all arrive at this one movie?
Did you pick this? I might have picked it. Yeah, I think that this is the first option. We were all just like, yeah, that's cool.
I think it was the first movie that came. Well, when you said hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you this earlier. I just rewatch all the movies that I've watched as a kid all the time. But this is like the one that I haven't, but I did really love. And yeah. We all sort of agreed the same thing had happened.
Yeah. It's hard to think of something that you haven't seen in a while because you haven't seen it.
Right. So we were just like, cool,
that's a good point.
We were just trying to think of a movie we would actually want to watch again.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm super curious.
Yeah. Same.
Well, that's great. I'm excited for y'all. How old were you when you first saw this movie? You said you last time you saw it was 10. Did you watch it before that or was it just pretty much 10 years old?
I think I watched it when it came out. Same year as Scream.
Oh. Yeah.
It was the same year. That's right. It was the same year as Scream.
Yeah.
How funny.
I don't know, 8 or 9.
We watched Scream last night. Just
FYI.
Yeah. I think I probably only saw it once or twice, like around the time it came out. But I don't know. It, like certain moments of it definitely stuck with me really hard. But yeah, I don't know.
Did you see it in the theater or was it just on video?
I think I saw it on video. I don't think I ever saw this in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it on video.
My parents didn't take
probably
us to the theater.
Probably sandwiched by Spice World viewings.
Yeah.
Mm. well, what memories do you have around this movie? How did it affect you?
I just talked to my mom when I was on my way home from work today and asked her about this. And she said, I was telling her, I was like, oh, you know, we're doing this. We're going to be on this podcast talking about this movie. I picked this one like for myself, for my part, because I remember having really strong memories of it. And my mom was like, oh yeah, I remember that very clearly. You were horrified by this movie. She was like, you know, I think that you at the time were like, you'd seen the trailer for this and then you were wanting to be a spy and like spy on all of your friends. And then we sat down and watched the movie and you were like abhorred by her behavior and you were so disappointed and like horrified by her being such a terrible bully and betraying all of her friends. And I think she was like, I think you felt some extra shame around it because you had like up to that point been wanting to like be this really, you know, accomplished spy in your peer group. And then you realized the toll that it takes on the soul. And so, you know.
That's so sad.
Some pure disenchantment.
Right, I know, there. Yeah. So that's my memory of feelings about it.
This is like our litmus test of whether or not you're like a good moral person. Because I definitely did not feel bad.
Is this basically
I
like
became an accomplished
Joker
spy.
In 1997?
What's
oh,
that?
Yeah. I think so. The disenfranchisement of the spy, I guess.
Yeah. Please never mind that.
What was the question? Our memory of the
how it affected you? What are your memories?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was really into spying, which is why I think that my mom bought me this movie. And I was telling you earlier, as an only child, you know, there's really not much more to do but spy. And after the movie, I was still very into spying, totally glazed over the fact that she was terrible. I was like, I want to do a spy even more. My idol.
I felt like you related to her.
I think so. I don't know why, other than the spy stuff. I just was really into secrets at the time.
She's also an only child.
And she's an only child. That's right. She was just bored. I really wanted a Rosie. Did not have one. But yeah, it prompted me, like I was saying earlier, to get like a boy talk and start spying on my parents, and which they still have the recordings of, and is very boring because it's just me talking about them doing the dishes and like very detailed.
I would really love to hear them.
I'll get her to mail it. She couldn't figure out how to like put the tape audio in an electronic messenger to me.
I think things difficult. Like that are so precious. You know, to have like a recording of your voice as a child.
That's true.
Yeah.
Your voice, yeah, your like secret voice, you know, your real one, not like it's a birthday party.
I used to make up stories into a voice recorder.
Do you have them?
Oh, yeah.
I did, but I gave it to a boyfriend to listen to, and then we broke up, and I never got it back.
Oh,
are
no,
you kidding
that's
me?
Tragic.
I know, it's really sad. I
think Let's go get them right now.
Hey. Did you have any memories? Particular?
No.
Okay, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Wait, can we have a brief interlude where someone tells me who Rosie O'Donnell is in this movie?
She is the nanny.
She's
like her surrogate mom.
Okay. For Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
And Eartha Kitt is an eccentric, wealthy woman that just, she's a shut-in, doesn't come out of her house. That, okay. And it's part of Harriet's spy route.
Oh, the route.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay, so one more thing. So Harriet is a beloved character, and I think a big reason why is because she is a motivated individual and a non-conforming outsider, which I think a lot of people can relate to. I know that I can relate to that. And kids don't often recognize individuality as a strength when they're younger because they can often be bullied for being different. Mm. And then later on, we come to recognize that it's a strength and it's a really great thing to appreciate about ourselves, being different. So like, do any of y'all have any memories of being like a quote unquote weirdo when you're little?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, mostly.
I mean, nothing super specific. I remember just really feeling like a tomboy as a kid. But I don't know.
Okay, here's my...
Oh, wait, I'm excited. I'm cutting up for this one.
Here's my, like, kind of go-to, like, explainer for, I guess for kind of, like recess politics at my school in Stillwater. And this, you know, outside of, like, the things that I was good at and, like, cared about, this was kind of the rest of school. So we would play, you know, like soccer or football or whatever, like at recess every day. And there are these two kids, Jared and Lance, and they were...
I hate them so much.
And they were like the playground kings. And they were just the best at every sport. And so they, you know, rose to the top and like became the rulers and could just dictate what happened in all of the spaces, all of the time. So they, at the beginning of every recess, there'd probably be like 40 of us, that would like be playing a sport, playing football. And so they'd be like, all right, everyone line up against the fence. And so all 40 of us small little boys would line up against this fence at the back of the like field. And Lance and Jared would go through and they'd count and see exactly how many people there would be that day. And they were like, all right, there's 40 of you. And you know, this ritual of like where you're picking teams,
mm-hmm.
you're like,
yeah,
you'd be
yeah.
like one man pick or two man pick. So like there'd be two team captains and they would pick the people. They're like, all right, there's 40 of you, 20 man pick. And they would, so they would pick the half of the boys that they wanted for their team. And then whoever was left would be the opposing team. Mm-hmm. So this is just like a ritual. It would happen every day. So they would pick like all the people that were good at sports. And then all of the rest of us who were not would be on the other team. And then it would just be like 30 minutes of them like clobbering us.
Oh my God.
This happened every day.
Wait, and what sport are you playing like 20 on 20?
Dodgeball,
any of them.
Crazy soccer,
football, soccer, yeah,
crazy soccer,
classic sport.
Everybody's kicking to their shins.
Yeah, it's just a shin kicking game.
That's so cool. Where are they now? Have you looked Jared and Lance up?
What jerks?
No,
they're cult leaders now for sure.
No way. They're not doing anything that cool. No, I don't think that cult leaders were good at sports in elementary school.
But they were just good at. I mean, they just rallied all y'all.
No, it was more so like easily. It was like a bully fear, you know. Mm. It wasn't like charisma. It was just like, oh, they can kick a ball really far.
Oh, they're a couple of big boys.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, interestingly, I had a similar, well, not very similar, but thinking about that like outcast thing in middle school, because I started middle school, my parents had moved us to North Carolina, and then we moved back to Florida 2 months into sixth grade. So all the cliques had already formed, and it was just,
that's really hard,
torture. And at lunch, all of the tables, you were only allowed to have six people sit at each table. So when I moved there, there was only one table that was open, and the only people that sat there were known as the Moose twins. And it was because their last name was Moose, but they would
twins.
Just suck on Dr. Pepper flavored chapstick during lunch.
Oh. What?
And
like they would both do it.
They would both just like, yeah. You remember those lip smackers?
Sharing, or they had their own.
I don't have I just have a memory of the smell, but not how many there were. And
this was your gang. This is the Moose twins.
This is my gang. This was my Jared and Lance. But I was an alternate for a table of cool girls. And so if like one of them was out, I got to sit at that table. But that had my bully, who we're now very close friends, and I was in her wedding, but her name is Meredith Lambert. And she bit my butt once, and she lived across the street from me, and I moved there and had started making friends with her friends, and she got kind of like jealous, I think, and got me uninvited from sleepovers. She threatened to hit me with her clarinet once.
These are such specific threats.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
use
the tools you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was, she threatened a lot of people with clarinets. Once we were both being bullied by these three girls who actually also played soccer, and we all took the bus home together to the same neighborhood. And Meredith was singing the song from that Chewy granola commercial that was like, chewy, chewy, chewy. Do you remember that one? And everyone was like, shut up, Meredith. And those three girls were, and then they got off the bus with us, and they were still just like, we're gonna beat you up. And Meredith also threatened to hit them with her clarinet case. Later in the day, we had a rendezvous in the neighborhood. The girls were on their bikes, and we were on our bikes. And I just remember Daniel Harmon, who was like the toughest soccer girl, like put her hand and stopped my wheel from moving with her bare hand.
Damn.
Wow.
Because she was so strong and tough.
Yeah.
Anyways.
A tough girl.
Was she a Terminator? How did she do that?
I don't know. I just remember it so clearly. Yeah, anyways. That was a whole heck of a ramble. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's fine. I one of the memories that I have of being like super weird when I was really little was going around and fussing at everyone every time they kicked over an anthill. And people started teasing me about it because I was just like, they work so hard.
Oh my God. That's
they
so
work
cute.
So hard. You're just kicking over their anthill.
Really
what?
Precious.
It's
for
like,
what?
They're just doing their jobs.
You're giving them a voice. They didn't have one.
Exactly.
That's it's really, important. Really cute. I feel like Tanner maybe was the bully.
No, I was weird. I drew monsters a lot. Mm. I liked to pretend to be a gargoyle.
Can you do it right now?
No,
give
is
us
my
your best
shirt's
impression.
Not
like
big enough.
A show or just a gargoyle?
Just a gargoyle.
Your shirt's not big enough.
Because you have to have a big shirt and you stretch it over your whole body, and then you sit on the corner of a building. And you don't move.
You sat on the corner of
what kind of building would you sit on?
I mean, preferably something like, you know, gothic or stone.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Yeah, so I don't think I was a bully. I was weird. I was a biter. So
what is with that? Some kids were just biters.
I don't know.
Did you ever get in trouble for biting someone?
Yes. A lot.
Do you still have the urge to bite? I need to know more about this.
Yeah, what drove you to bite?
I don't know. It was some sort of, it wasn't premeditated. It was an animal instinct.
Reactionary?
Yeah.
Well,
I just come from a lineage of biters.
Well, I'm hearing people starting to arrive, so that means we're gonna have to move the conversation into the slow moving time machine. So I don't know if y'all noticed the giant
hunk of machine
in the corner, and not just there to look pretty. Mm-hmm. We're actually gonna be going in there. So as soon as the doors open, we can just take a step in.
Okay.
I'm scared. Wait, what's gonna happen?
We're gonna get in the slow moving time machine.
We're going forward in time or back.
Oh, I'll explain once we're in there.
Okay.
Well, is there like an airlock chamber?
No.
No.
We're not gonna jet you out there. It's safe.
Cool.
All right, y'all ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All time machine systems online. Systems go.
All right, so here we are. This is the slow moving time machine.
Wow.
Oh my God. It smells great in here.
So let me, thank you. I have been trying something new.
Yeah, what is that?
What is that?
Well, it's some kind of weird incense that was a gift. I have no idea what kind of scent it is, but I thought it was pleasant.
Kind of incense, yeah. Gift scent.
Mystery scent.
I feel like it's not too like heavy. So let me explain what just happened. So as soon as you cross the threshold into the slow moving time machine, you have essentially split your existence into two separate realities. So while you're in here having this conversation, you're actually also out there at the party watching the movie and having a good time with everybody else.
Wow.
That may sound confusing, and it might be when we slow the time machine down and you rejoin yourself and have to reintegrate all of those memories of those two separate timelines. But it only lasts for like 5 minutes and you're good.
Cool.
So the slow moving time machine only moves slightly faster than the timeline we're used to. So we'll be wrapping up the conversation as they're wrapping up the movie out there. Does that make sense?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So just a little disclaimer. Normally with the slow moving time machine, we only have three people in here. Me and Eric and one guest. So we've had to like fiddle with some stuff and recalibrate the time machine to accommodate more passengers. And we are pretty certain that we've got this down and that everybody's going to be
certain.
Huh?
It's fine. You don't look that certain. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's we feel good about it. So thank you for being here. Did I say that already?
Oh my God.
If you hear any alarms, don't panic.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Everybody feeling good?
I'm feeling,
Wait, where are we?
Something's about to happen.
What is currently happening?
What is currently happening? Well, we are moving a little bit faster in time.
David, describe the room.
What that feel is.
Episode 2. Describe the room.
I really only can sense the smell.
It reminds me of when you shrink down to go inside of like a brain in a story, like Magic School Bus or something.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like inner space.
Like the feeling.
Mm. Definitely like inner space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that sensation.
Like, just psychically, not aesthetically at all.
Are you
really
bloated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that normal?
That is a common side effect, as well as like slight confusion. So if any time like you forget what you're saying, it's just the time machine.
Oh my God, I've been in a time machine my whole life.
Okay. So I mentioned this. Let's talk about Harriet the Spy. I mentioned this before about the character a minute ago out there, but Harriet the Spy is a beloved book, kind of like Winnie the Pooh beloved. And in researching this movie, I don't get the feeling that this was an adaptation choice purely made for money, but that the people that worked on it really truly loved the characters. So before we talked about the movie, I thought we could talk briefly about the source material. Have any of y'all ever read the book before?
No.
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 Okay. So I read it in preparation for this. So I had never read it either.
Wait, who wrote it?
Louise Fitzhugh. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay. So yeah, I don't think I'd read anything by her either. It's a really great book. And a lot of what you said about Harriet being really mean, I think that it was just the movie's a pretty good adaptation of the book, but her innocence, I don't think, carries through in the movie as well. Mm-hmm. She just comes off as mean a lot of times, but I think like the message comes through. So it was written and illustrated by Louise Fitzhugh in 1964. So when you think about Harriet in the context of the 60s, does anything stand out to y'all?
I mean, I feel like she's a pretty radical character for that time, being such an independent lady.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's why it really resonated with a lot of people, mm-hmm. because she was like a real little girl, and it wasn't just like in a lot of things, like little girls in stuff at that time, they just did what they were told and they were sweet and kind and, mm-hmm. you know, the book is considered a milestone in children's literature and often figures prominently on lists of top children's novels. It is also on a short list of notoriously banned books, wow. which I think is funny. Yeah. And do y'all know anything about any other banned books?
Wasn't Harry Potter banned? It depends on where.
I think, yeah, it does depend on where. Obviously, like, there aren't any books that have been, like, ubiquitously banned. But
Is Catcher in the Rye banned?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Fahrenheit 451,
yeah.
I feel like the reasons why a lot of books are banned are kind of silly. So the book is thought to depict children in a really realistic way, with them saying things that they'd actually say and doing things that they'd actually do in real life. And it's probably what makes the book so relatable and so enduring. So certain states and school systems felt like it taught kids bad behaviors like lying and spying and eavesdropping and bullying, and kind of failed to take in the whole message of how you deal with things like that and the consequences for certain actions and like stuff like that, which I think that's why I think a lot of the, like, things for banning books are pretty silly.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to know that it was a banned book. Yeah. It was just one book, or was it a series?
You know, that's something I didn't really look up. I know there's a sequel, but I did read on a few things that people referred to it as the Harriet series. So I don't know how many books there are, but I would definitely recommend picking it up if you're looking into a children's novel. It's pretty cute.
Often.
I love stories with mean girls. I don't know why.
The
I just
way
do.
You said that.
Stories yeah. of mean girls?
Yeah, for sure. It's like cathartic and liberating.
What other Mean Girl stories are you thinking about?
That's a good question.
Look how he's holding the mic.
No, I forgot now.
Was it?
It's my own fault.
No, it's the time machine.
Like Mean Girls?
Yeah, Mean Girls.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
And you just know in your girls. Heart you like a mean girl, but you just like...
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the movie.
Please.
Harriet the Spy came out in 1996, like you said before, Jenny. Mm. So it was the very first Nickelodeon movie. So I don't know when y'all were born. Do y'all remember when it came out in the theater?
I don't remember in the theater it coming out. I do remember seeing the trailer for it, though, weirdly.
I think I wanted the swag. Like, I wanted that invisible ink and stuff.
It was good.
Yeah.
It worked great.
Did you write lots of invisible notes?
Oh, my God, yeah. There was a tree in the middle of our cul-de-sac that had a little hole in it, and I would just write notes, secrets, and put it in that tree.
Like Boo Radley. Oh,
I love that. Yeah.
Plus my mom's potpourri to like throw off the scent. I don't know why I would do that.
Like the scent of the note?
Yeah, I don't know. I was
so
just
nobody
like,
could track
so
it to
note,
you. To mask it.
Note potpourri.
Potpourri. I was first note and then squishing potpourri. Uh-huh.
There's no bloodhounds coming after you. Uh-uh. You've thrown them all off.
They were top secrets.
Is that what it smells like in here? Potpourri?
Yeah, I guess it is. It's like a... He's got notes of potpourri.
Mm-hmm. I just smell the Pope.
The Pope.
Notes of potpourri. It's good.
Well, so Nickelodeon up until this point had only been producing television shows. In the early 80s, the network really struggled to air content that really stuck because it was mostly variety shows. But in the mid-80s, they underwent a drastic rebranding, which is when the Nickelodeon Orange Splat first appeared, and it started calling itself the First Kids Network.
Iconic.
Yeah.
The Splat.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that old.
Wait, but you said the Splat came in the 80s?
Yes.
Oh.
In the mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
Because before that, it was a pinwheel.
A pinwheel?
Yeah, that was their brand.
What?
That doesn't evoke anything to me. I would not watch a pinwheel on that work.
Pinwheels.
Speak for yourself.
Wait, what is a pinwheel actually?
It's the thing that you put in the ground that has all of the shiny metal metallic stuff that you bend over.
Oh, like the thing in Inception.
And the wind blows it like this.
The thing that he like puts in the safe in the guy's head in Inception.
Remember.
That's the only thing I know that from.
That's the only thing you know a pinwheel,
from? That's what a pinwheel
is? The movie Inception.
The people stick them in their lawns as lawn ornament.
You know what a pinwheel is. You would love a pinwheel, David. They're so shiny.
It's really hard to describe what one is.
I just really firmly believe that they
would
love
pinwheels. I'll show you a picture.
Okay. Wait, so that was their thing, and then it was a splat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And they started calling it themselves the First Kids Network, because it was one of the first networks that was just making programming for kids. And by the late 80s, they were gaining traction and started really kicking up their original content. And that's when the game Double Dare started. Ugh. And Pete and Pete started airing in 1989. Then in 1990, they established Nickelodeon Studios. And one of the long-term goals was to produce feature films with Nickelodeon Studios, mostly focusing on original material, but there were thoughts of making movies for all three of the original Nicktoons, which premiered in 1991. Do y'all remember what the first three Nicktoons were?
Rugrats?
Rugrats was one, yeah.
Hey Arnold?
Nope.
No, Hey Arnold. Oh, wait, I know that about this. Hey Arnold, the pilot. Oh, you're going to say this later.
Yeah,
I'll hold it in.
I'll point to you and you can say it.
Doug? No.
Doug, yes.
Was Doug one?
Yes. Rugrats, Doug.
Rocco's Modern Life?
Ooh.
Not quite.
No.
Rocco. Wait. Hold on.
1991.
Are Real Monsters? No, that was later.
That was later.
Yeah, I know that.
It's the really gross one.
Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, Ren and Stimpy.
Those were the first three Nicktoons.
And
Rocco's
really
Modern Life was shortly after that in 1992.
Man, Rocco's good.
I lost my place. Right. So, they had plans for all three of those movies, but, they had one for Doug, but that was scrapped when the studio that created Doug, Jumbo Studios, was sold to Disney in 1996, which I remember and was super upset by because I really liked Doug. And I felt like once it made that move, it just lost all of its charm. And a Ren and Stimpy movie was also pushed to the side because of constant struggles with convincing the creator to comply with Nickelodeon's content standards.
I believe that.
And that's why the show was canceled.
Dang.
But Rugrats did get a movie, and that turned out to be the third Nickelodeon movie ever. And it was the highest grossing animated feature film that wasn't a Disney movie. And also the highest grossing feature film out of a TV cartoon up until that point, and then wasn't overthrown until the Simpsons movie.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. Just
crazy, because I didn't really like it.
Is that the one where they're grown up?
No. I think they go on some grand adventure in the Amazon.
Oh, right, with vacation plays.
I think it's they have to go find
Pickles.
There's like a doll that gets lost, right?
Oh. Reptar?
No.
Angelica. No, wait. Angelica's a girl.
Angelica has a doll.
Her doll,
I can see
yeah.
her. Cynthia.
Cynthia.
Yeah, I think her doll gets lost and they have to go find it. I only remember that because she sings that song like, one way or the other, I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you.
Oh, how funny.
I remember that song and the doll from that movie. I'd never watched an episode of that show, though.
Really?
What?
Yeah. For some reason, somehow I like was in the theater watching that movie, but I had never watched that show before.
How funny.
Wild.
Yeah.
Okay. You should watch it all.
No.
Okay.
You should watch it all. All of the Rugrats. Yes. It's like one of the longest running cartoon series. I think they might still be making it.
No way.
No way.
No, probably just SpongeBob.
Yeah. No, they stopped making SpongeBob too.
They did?
Oh, because he died.
Yeah, he died.
Oh. The sponge or the man?
The creator.
That was insensitive of me.
In the canon of SpongeBob, he dies. Yeah.
Well, so production on Harriet the Spy began during the fall of 1994 in Toronto in partnership between Nickelodeon Studios and Paramount. The book is set in New York, and Paramount wanted them to make Toronto look like New York, which is easier said than done. So they just picked really great locations and didn't worry that much about making it look like New York. So it really doesn't look very much like New York. And you said it also was filmed in Miami.
There were some scenes in Miami for Lauderdale, but I have no idea which ones.
Yeah, I'm not sure. A lot of the movies that we cover in this podcast have like really tumultuous stories with the production. And unlike that, it seems that the production of Harriet the Spy was just a really, really lovely experience for everyone involved.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Everyone has really pleasant memories of being on set. In fact, Charlotte Sullivan, who plays Marion Hawthorne, who was the mean girl?
She's a mean girl. I just remember there's that close-up of her like licking her finger and then turning the page.
She's the original bully, to be honest. Yeah. Like, she's the one that violates her journal. No one's supposed to read that. Mm. I mean, everybody's got bad thoughts sometimes. Harriet just wrote them down.
She had to get them out. She's still a monster.
But yeah, she recalls that the director, Bronwyn Hughes, directed them in this really fun way where she was just dancing all the time, and she was just like hopping over here and she's like, do this, and like then hopping over there, she's like, now I do this. And so like it was just like transferring all this really fun energy to the young cast, and so everybody just had a really good time.
Now that you say that, I do remember a lot of dancing in the
you're
movie.
Right, there is dancing,
there's a lot of like hopping around montages,
so
right?
they're probably just like hopping because the director's hopping, and
cute.
I know, it's really cute.
Yeah. So adults should be directed that way.
If you make things fun, it carries through. But I think there really weren't a lot of stories that I was able to find on this movie, because I think everybody just, you know, had a great time. And other than that really cute story about the director, I didn't really find much other anecdotal stuff. When it was released in the theater, it was released along with the premiere of a brand new Nicktoon, which was...
Hey, Arnold!
Hey, Arnold! Yep, no one had seen it up until that point, which I didn't realize.
It was like it showed in the theater
they
with
showed
Harry
the pilot,
like
of
the
hey
full
Arnold.
Pilot episode before the...
Wow.
But the episode was like probably so short, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Yeah. Something like that. And it had one budget, and then, sorry, I can't remember the numbers, but anyway, it ended up being a fairly successful movie. And that's all I have. Any final thoughts
about Harriet?
Because soon you'll rejoin yourself out there.
I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to see. You know what? Do you think there's a chance between now and when we walk out there, when, you know, rejoin ourselves, that Tanner turned himself into a gargoyle? I just really hope that happens.
Oh my God, I hope so.
I really want to walk out there and see you rejoin your gargoyle self.
Is that how you're planning on disguising yourself?
It is, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Give away your disguise.
I'm curious to see what the meanest thing that happens in this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to check in with you on that after the movie.
I'm gonna rate my top five meanest things, and I'll present them after the film.
Great. So this is the first time that we've slowed the time machine down with so many people. So you might experience a little bit of a perception lag. And it's just keep reminding yourself, it's uncomfortable, but it is totally normal. And it will it's totally temporary. Right, Eric?
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
All right, y'all ready?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I'll just stay in here.
Yeah.
And then you'll
yeah.
You're just gonna live here?
I like that there's two of me, and I don't want that to change.
I've never come into this issue before.
You're like the Moose Twins.
I want to be the Moose Twins.
I cannot promise that being split into two existences for a long period of time is healthy for anyone.
It's just nice. Like, I was an only child, and it's like now I have a sister, and it just makes me.
Oh,
I don't want to give that up.
That's not what that is.
I don't know. It's not. There's someone out there. It's the same as me. What is it that
I don't know. I was
I will
child
kill
too.
My twin then for you.
You're not killing anything.
I just feel like I'm murdering my sister.
No. It's not like that at all.
Okay, if you say so.
You are only half of yourself right now.
Wow. Oh.
That's
I
way
feel
scary.
So whole.
We all are right now.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
got it.
Let's go.
All passengers must return to their respective times. Goodbye.
Wow, my thoughts are surprisingly clear after stepping off that time machine. How about y'all?
It was a whirlwind.
It was a whirlwind. Do you feel like you're reconnected?
Well, Tanner's actually a gargoyle now.
That probably
oh, that's you. Oh, I didn't even realize. That Wait. Was a very convincing gargoyle.
What time machine?
Okay, you're still taking your time.
Remember, we split into two.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You're with us
I
now?
I remember it now.
Okay. So we just finished watching Harriet the Spy. And thank you all for staying. So I feel like a big theme in this movie. Well, one, first let's talk about notebooks. We had a private secret spy notebook that was being passed around. I saw that a lot of people wrote secrets in there. It was pretty good. We have a special another special guest in the audience, the one true princess.
Hello.
Oh, hello, the one true princess.
Hello. And the one true princess, my sister Chaney, has brought a couple notes from middle school.
Yes, for your pleasure. Now, these are very intimate. A lot of emotion went into these. And poor Rebecca doesn't know that I'm going to be reading this letter. Okay, I will be changing the names to help...
anonymity?
Yes. Okay, so here we go. Hey, sup? Nothing much here, just chilling at home in my bed. I'm sorry you had a bad day on Thursday. I did too. You better tell me about it. You better tell me about your day. Anyways, about the fight. Yes. Sarah came up to me and started saying that I shouldn't be friends with Heather Cooper. I was like, oh, whatever. I tried to walk away, but she came 2 inches away from my face and she said something. I walked away again and she came up and pushed me against, let's say, Heather. I pushed her against the wall and she started swinging. So I jumped in and started swinging too. Oh, well, I got suspended for 2 days. Sport thought the fight was about him. She liked him. And then he asked me out. Ooh. I like sport so much. I practically love him. don't tell anyone, because if Heather finds out, I know she'll be heartbroken. I mean, I've liked him since the seventh grade. I didn't say anything until now. Well, gotta go. Right back soon, Rebecca. Yeah, there was a fight. There was love interest. There was a secret love interest. There was a lot happened. Okay, all right. Again, changing the names to protect people. Hey, buddy. Winky face. Sorry I made you play volleyball yesterday. I hope you don't hate me forever. Sorry. Anyways, guess what, chicken butt? I felt like saying that. So, was up with an arrow pointing up. Not much here, just chilling. So, how is Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt doing? Good, bad, you know the stuff. So, are you going to soccer tonight? I am. You have to come. I don't want to go by myself again. Oh no, I just remembered. I'm going to be late tomorrow. Spelled TOMMOROW. Because the orchestra has me playing from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Well, I gotta go. It looks like 12 o'clock a.m. right now. I'm going to go to sleep. I love you. Love ya. Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So that's going to segue into my first question. Did you ever have something that you wrote down that you got in trouble for because it was seen by someone that wasn't supposed to see it?
I actually got in trouble for somebody else writing a letter, someone who had a very similar name to mine, and the principal got a hold of the letter and pulled me into the office, and it was a love letter, and it was very explicit, and this was junior high, and I was very innocent, and he started reading me my letter and asked me how I thought it was appropriate, and I thought it was very inappropriate for him to be reading it to me, especially since I didn't write it. And I had to say, that's not my name. And he felt very embarrassed, and I went on with my day.
Wow. Anybody else get in trouble?
So when I was in middle school, one of my teachers found a note that I had been writing that was basically bookkeeping for betting on football games. And I was taking everybody's name and how much they bet down on paper because I thought that we needed a contract to hold people to their bets. Unfortunately, this piece of paper turned out to be the prime evidence in the investigation about gambling at school, and I got very caught. So I'm not a good spy. But thankfully, this was in middle school, and at the time I was living in New Jersey, where in the town that my mom grew up in, and her dad was like the athletic director of the school district when he was alive. And so a bunch of the teachers, and in this case, the guidance counselor, like knew who I was without me knowing them. And so I got called into the guidance counselor's office, and he was just like, so your grandfather was my homie, so we're just going to brush this under the rug, and you're not going to do this again, right? And I was like, okay, yeah, cool. And I didn't do it again, but I didn't get in trouble, which was great.
Did anybody ever have a diary or a journal that was violated? Okay, well, I have a story. And a good thing you have the microphone. So I came home one day, and my little diary that had Piglet on the front was, like, slightly moved, like, less than an inch, rotated around, like just ever so slightly, and I knew that I had put it slightly to the other side. So I was certain that I knew that someone had read my diary. So I barged into my sister's room, Janie, and I demanded that she tell me the truth, that she read my diary.
Yeah. I did. It's only because I thought you were so cool and I wanted to know about your life because you didn't talk to me. So I just wanted to know everything about you and who you liked and what you thought of your friends. And I don't remember any of it, but I thought I was really sneaky and put it exactly back. I just didn't know that you, like, had it measured.
I was just a little OCD about all of my things, and so I knew. And I remember going in there, and you said, no, I didn't. And I said, oh, yes, you did. And you're like, no, I didn't. And I said, yes, you did. And you said, no. And I said, you read my diary, and you tell me right now. And then that's when you told me, like, I just couldn't stop.
It was very intriguing.
It was like reading about someone's life. And I said, that's exactly what it was. And it was private. So nobody else ever had something like that happen? Man, I've picked some bad questions. All right.
Oh, I violated my sister's diary.
Ah.
And I'm probably the reason why she never kept a diary again, because she had barely started. And she was probably in the first or second grade, and I'm 3 years older than her. And she was mad all the time, and it's weird to live with a first grader who's mad all the time. And so she was out one day, and I was peeved at her because she had lashed out at me, probably. And so I went in, and I was like, there's a book there that looks private. So I opened it, and there was one line in it that said, I like, I don't know, Oliver or something. And
ooh.
Right, that's all that was in it. I read that, and then I put it back. And a few weeks later, I made fun of her about liking Oliver. And the next time I looked at that diary, there was nothing else in it. And that one line had been, like, totally crossed off, obliterated into nothing.
So she didn't notice that her diary was moved a centimeter to the left?
No. I was a good spy.
I didn't ever write a diary, so I don't have one of those. But I did have this friend named Brent Tiveldi in like third grade. So was that like, we're like 9 years old, maybe 10. And this is kind of a weird thing to say, but he was a really horny 9 year old. He would write all of these very explicit things in his diary and then leave it conspicuously laying around so that it would get picked up and read by, I guess, by me, because I read all of it. And it was some pretty raunchy stuff for a 9 year old. I don't know how to feel about it, but I mean, I was 9 at the time too, so I learned a lot.
Wow. I guess, like, some people would leave their diaries out to be read. Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, I guess some people want their private thoughts known.
Like American Psycho. He wants to be caught, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
you're right.
You just get, like, worse and worse at the crime until, like, somebody eventually catches you. And then you get the sweet release of freedom. Unless you're a big-time businessman and they don't believe you.
I have something to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. So this is kind of a twist, right? Because I was never very good about keeping, like, a diary, although I do write a lot, you know? So I have private thoughts that I like to keep to myself, you know, that I have written down. But I had a friend a while back who was very intent on showing me her private, like, journal entries. And I felt like that was a violation of her privacy, even though she was giving it to me. You know, I just, it's so weird to read someone else's things. I don't get how you did that, Chaney. It's just very uncomfortable.
Like I said, I don't remember any of it, so... But I was a weird kid, so...
I feel like I want to pose, like, a follow-up question to this because I think it would be really interesting, which is, like, now there's, like, online writing and people, like, keep their diaries online and, like, it's totally public. I mean, I started having a Zanga when I was, like... 13, I think. So there was some stuff that, like, I posted on there that was, like, intended to be read by classmates and stuff. But I'm interested if anybody has any stories of, like, posting stuff online that then got read in a, like, you know, in a way that, like, caused some issue or something.
You mean, like, mean comments?
Yeah, yeah, like anything. I don't know.
There's probably some stories.
Weirdly, I remember the first mean comment I ever got was on my live journal. And I remember talking about Thanksgiving and how much I loved Thanksgiving because it, you know, food. And someone commented anonymously because you could have anonymous comments. You're such a liar. I know that Thanksgiving isn't your favorite holiday. And I remember that so clearly. I don't know why.
Called out.
I felt like weirdly ashamed, even though like I knew it was my favorite. So I just remember that. But... I've also taken up lately a weird thing of, is anyone familiar with the Wayback Machine? Mm-hmm. And going on people's, like going on MySpace from 1999 to 2001 on the Wayback Machine for listeners at home. That's just sort of a way to see old versions of a website. And you can just read everyone's MySpace entries. It's just people like, you know, a 16-year-old in Canada that never knew that I'd be reading about their weird day, like skimboarding or something. But I recommend it. There's so many treasure troves online that are just like going to die on there, you know, of people's thoughts.
Wow. I really want to check that out now. Because that should. Is like, it's a really fascinating thing. I mean, I know it's commonplace now, like to post like all, like a whole bunch of really private stuff on Facebook for everyone to see. But I think that was the beginning stages of it, right? Having an online blog. It's a blog, but it's a diary.
And I think people still felt like it was kind of private in a way.
Because they didn't really expect people to go and search it out.
They didn't expect, no, just some 30-year-old lady years down the road reading it. But yeah.
Have you found anybody, like have you looked for somebody in particular and found their old MySpace?
No, but I have tried to contact people that I've found there with no success, but I really wanted to do like a zine of their reactions to one, like entries that I had found. Yeah, but no,
just
they were
show-
all a bunch of Yahoo emails that don't exist anymore, you know, Yahoos.
just a show of hands. Well, actually, no, I want to know. If anybody, when was the last time someone logged into MySpace? Does anybody remember?
2009.
I think it was precisely right after the Facebook movie came out, like a little while after the Facebook movie came out, Justin Timberlake bought MySpace or like invested very heavily in MySpace and was like, I'm Justin Timberlake. I'm going to make MySpace cool again. And so I signed in to check out their new interface and I was like, yeah, this isn't cool.
So a big theme in this movie is bullying. And it's like, there's a sense of misguided child justice and how they felt wronged because of what Harriet thought and wrote in her diary. When the original violation was that someone took her private diary and read it out loud. But because they were hurt, they thought it was okay to gang up against her, which then led her to retaliate. And you know, they're all adolescents kind of working through, you know, these things, this transition into, you know, the children working on a transition to adolescence, which is really hard. So
Does anybody have a memory of being a bully when they didn't really realize they were being a bully until much later in life? Well, I will start just in case like it triggers any memories. So when I was in eighth grade, I, at this point, like I didn't have friends for 2 years. And in eighth grade, I finally started making friends again. But like those 2 years of not having friends, like really did, like really messed with my self-confidence. And I didn't really trust anything that came out of my mouth or any actions that, or any interactions that I had with people. And so I kind of looked to other people on how to behave on everything. And someone gave me a note that was asking me out, and I didn't know how to process that. So I showed it to my friends, and then they all started laughing about it, especially since he included a little peppermint in it and said to keep it as a little gift. And then they're like, well, he thinks your breath smells. And so we all laughed about it and, like, you know, gave it to everybody to read. And now, like, I think back on that, and that was just such a mean thing to do. I have no idea if he knows we did that, but it was just like, you know, I was definitely a bully. Anybody else?
Are you still dating?
Am I still dating? No. It was over after the peppermint was gone.
I read my sister's diary.
I don't ever think that I was a bully, but it is a story related to being to bullies. I went back to my high school a few years after I graduated to see some teachers that I liked and hang out. And I was just like, you know, gabbing with them. And then they were like talking about a current student that was having a bullying problem. And then they turned to me and they say, Texana, you were always really great at dealing with the bullies. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, like you just pretended they never existed. And I was like, I didn't know they existed. I didn't know that I was bullied. So... yeah.
It's hard to know when you're bullied, because I was definitely bullied and I didn't realize it either.
Just lived my life ignorant. It's bliss.
You mentioned earlier that Facebook used to have the anonymous thing. I'm glad that they took that away, because a lot of people were being bullied on it. I remember I left... the first college that I went to, and I got an anonymous note saying, why did you leave? Was it because you weren't getting cast? And I was like, that's not at all why I left, but it was anonymous, so I couldn't answer. But you never know whether someone's going to be bullied or not, or how people are going to take a simple gesture of reading a note that someone wrote you to ask you out. And I have so much anxiety that I would do the same thing. I would go to my friends and say, hey, what do you think of this? Because I don't know how to figure this out. And then all of a sudden you're hurting somebody else's feelings.
Mm-hmm. So on the subject of Facebook, I really was never into the idea of social media when I was like in middle and high school. And, you know, that's when it started to become like a really big thing for me. I was in high school at the time, and everyone had a Facebook page, everyone except for me, or so I thought. But as it turned out, somebody made a Facebook page in my name and was using it to like curse people at my school out online. And I didn't know about that until someone came up to me during class and was like, hey, what's the deal with all the stuff you've been posting on Facebook? I don't have a Facebook. Yeah, you do. This is the first I'm hearing of this. So that's why I made a Facebook account, so that no one else could do that for me. As like a little sequel to that story, I thought I knew, I figured out who it was that that did that, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get you back. And I started being like super passive aggressive towards this one person. And then a couple weeks later, I realized that my theories were like way off base, and I was definitely just being really rude to this person I didn't know very well for no reason. So
yeah. What were they doing with that fake Facebook account?
Blogging about people.
Oh, so they were saying mean things.
I guess it was a long time ago. I didn't look too much into it because there's already a whole bunch of red flags going off when you see an account with your picture and name that you didn't make. So, yeah.
Okay, I thought of a story where I was a bully.
Oh, I'm not alone.
Oh, no. I don't remember a lot of the details, but there was a kid in my grade who, his name's Brad, and he was on the morning show in high school. We had like a television broadcast morning show, and he did the sports, and he would get on and he'd be like, I'm Brad Foster. I'm here to do sports. And for whatever reason, my twin and I just decided, like, this kid's going to be famous, and we're going to make him famous. Like, we just loved him. We thought, like, his opening line was so, like, iconic. And so we just pressed it. Like, we started a fan club. Like, there was Brad Foster fan club. We were, like, we were the editors of the newspaper, so we were really pushing it through the newspaper that Brad Foster's, like, the biggest star at school. And he just, like, didn't want any of this fame at all. Like, he had no desire to be famous at all. He was just doing his morning show. But we felt very determined that he needed to be the most popular kid at school because, like, he had the greatest, like, opening remarks on the news, and he just brought a smile to my face every day. So it was, like, I thought I was doing something nice for somebody or, like, being, like, I'm, like, lifting him up. But, like, he came up to me after, like, you know, 3 or 4 months of doing this at the point where his fame and popularity had really reached a fever pitch because it was a very successful campaign. And like everybody at school was like, you're Brad Foster. And he was like, can you not do this? I really hate it. I really hate what my life is now.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh no. Oh no, you're famous and you hate it. I'm sorry, Brad Foster.
Oh. Any other stories?
I have a story similar to that, but I'm not the one that started it, but I was in band with all of the other people that did it, and I was the person that helped make the buttons. So I'm involved. But there was my freshman year of high school, I was in band, I played drums, and there was a kid that played clarinet who was one of those people that I won't say his name, but he went by his first name and his last name. You know what I mean? One of those people. I don't think he decided that. I think we decided that. And he was just like a quiet, reserved, really hardworking. Family pushed him really hard to work hard. He was terrible at marching, but first chair clarinet during the non-marching part of the year. And we decided that, like, this guy was really important. I mean, we weren't, I don't think we were trying to be mean to this guy. Like, you know, he would smile when we would say his name and stuff. But for some reason, someone had the idea to, like, have, like, a day. Like, it was, like, first name, last name day. It was his day. It wasn't his birthday. It was a random day in January. And, but, like, somebody had balloons. I helped somebody, like, make buttons because I was like, oh, yeah, you just go to Cafe Press and, you know, you make the buttons. And so, yes. And I remember I wore that button on my backpack for, like, a year and a half until it fell off. But I think the thing is, on his actual day, I think he told us, like, an hour in, like, y'all need to stop. And I remember people popping the balloons and putting them away. Like, they respected his wishes on this because they're like, you're right, we shouldn't have done that. So
a little bit of a happy ending, and he was first chair clarinet all through high school, so you know, not too bad. He went to Harvard, like, it's fine. So that's the end of that story.
So I don't think of this as bullying necessarily, but in high school, I had this friend group, and one of the girls in it, her name was Mary, and she was like the most alternative of us, who would like wear like fully ripped clothes and like heavy eyeliner, straightened hair, dyed all the time. And I went to a prep school, so this was like very like an individual look for her. And people used to call her Scary Mary. And well, all of us in the friend group, but not her, decided that we needed to have a change of face campaign for her, a rebranding, if you would. And we took this photo of her that was like her jumping off of the bench of where we had lunch and added wings to it in MS Paint. So they're glorious wings. And we made posters that was not Scary Mary, Fairy Mary. And then that was like a chant that we would have at lunch for Mary. My mother's over here, she knows Mary. And I don't remember Mary ever really having a problem with it because she thought it was funny. But ultimately, it did die down, and I don't think she fully enjoyed the experience.
When you said you put wings on Mary, I thought you said Canary Mary was going to be the move, and I was so excited.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Well, we're gonna wrap this up, so let's get the microphones back up here to all of our guests. And before we finish up, I just want to thank everyone for coming and sharing your stories. And I know, particularly with the bullying thing, that it's very vulnerable. So thank you all for being vulnerable with us. And I want to thank Guanyin Tea House for hosting us and letting us screen the movie here. So, everybody, what was your experience watching the movie with everybody? And was it terribly different from how you remember it when you were little?
It was great. It kind of held up. Well, not every part of it. There was a lot more jazz in it than I remembered. And I think we're all collectively confused a bit why all the kids, especially the girl whose hair got cut off, was like, yes, we want to hear your unique point of view. Including the sock kid.
It seems a pretty like a leap.
Yeah, I mean, I was like kind of with her, and then confirmed my suspicions from when we spoke earlier, where I thought that she was a psychopath.
David, was she as mean as you remember?
I don't know. I'm torn now. I loved it. I feel like it resonated for completely different reasons. I mean, watching it as a kid, you're like, dang, like all this stuff is happening to me right now. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult watching it, at least I felt like, wow, like this is a window into the mind of a child.
Yeah, like, we've lived through it now.
Yeah.
At the time, and it's like, we were living it.
Yeah, and it's like a weird nostalgia. And like, so we were talking at the beginning about the director, like dancing. Yeah. You're saying that she would like dance around with the kids, mm-hmm. and like instill this energy. And I feel like that really comes through it. In the way mm-hmm. that all of the kids are just seem so like genuinely happy. And I feel like that, like seeing that emotion, seeing like pure joy, reflected or like portrayed in a movie is both like very compelling to watch. And also you're like, damn, I don't ever feel that anymore. Like it's like any of the joy I have is like tainted by all of these things. Like, you know, you're like, things are good, but you also so like got to do David. All this, like keep all of this stuff in mind. And you're not like, you know, you're not free and bouncing around and like playing bumper tag. And it makes like the betrayals all the more devastating. And it felt, I don't know, it felt pretty epic to me. It's mm-hmm. like epic childhood,
disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of meanness, Tanner, did you come up with your five meanest things?
Oh yeah. So I didn't remember this movie at all. And, they both told me that Harriet is extremely mean and that was their main recollection of the movie. And so I decided that I would come up with a list of the five meanest things that she did during the movie. So I thought that that would be fun. But while trying to gather evidence and like spy on Harriet, and come up with mean things, I didn't really come up with much. I feel like everybody in this movie is pretty equally mean, but in like a realistic way. It wasn't exaggerated. I was extremely impressed with this movie. Like the world was so lived in and mm-hmm. the characters were like so robust. It was remarkable. It was amazing. I mean, in some of like the meanest things she said, like you were talking about earlier, she didn't really even say them. It was somebody read them out of her diary.
I feel except like for was, the whole "your dad doesn't love you" thing.
Yeah, that was devastating.
That was really dark.
That was the coldest read I've ever seen. But other than that, I mean, my main takeaway for Harriet is that she doesn't know what a spy is. I don't think is a bad thing. Like that's kind of how it is goes when you're a kid. Like you make believe and you don't like you play like astronaut, but you don't really even know what an astronaut does. You just know that it's cool and you want to be one. Mm-hmm. So Harriet has no idea what the fuck a spy is. She has no mission at all. In terms of like spying, she's simply like she's just a voyeur, and that's it.
She's
like,
just so a voyeur.
She's not Harriet actually the voyeur. Yeah.
The voyeur.
That's what this movie should be called. Is Harriet the voyeur? And it was awesome. You like her? Let's see. So Harriet's version of being a spy is writing down. This person has a pinched-looking face.
Yeah, that was just a burn book.
Yeah, that's all it was, which is kind of weird. But also, movie was amazing. Loved it. And it was so much fun watching it with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all so much for choosing this movie and sharing it with us and sharing your thoughts. And do y'all have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Eartha Kitt is amazing.
Yes.
Cheers to the spy busting club.
Yeah,
they really busted that spy.
I love that they followed her around with really loud things so that she can't hide. Yeah.
I was like, just go to the grass.
That's true. Well, thanks again for everyone for coming. And until next time, this has been Memory Static. Return your videos here.
She knows. bloom upon the air. Since that someone's watching as you're climbing up the stair, you might see a shadow flicker and then turn, and nothing's there. But she's there, she's there.
Memory Static is hosted by Bailey Moore and produced and edited by me, Eric Dumig. Special thanks to Hyper Real Film Club for being our guests. That's David, Tanner, and Jenny. You're all awesome people. Thanks for coming out and coming on the show with us. It was a pleasure having you. Also, a big thanks to Guanyin Tea House for hosting the event, our first event outside of a house party setting. This was really, really fun to go out and do. So thank you, Guanyin Tea House. You're a great place to hang out at. It was really fun watching a movie in the Great Hall there. Music for this episode is by Bailey and Cullen Moore. If you like the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/memorystatic. Also, if you're listening to the show on Apple Music, consider giving us a rate and review. It helps. It's great. It feels good. As always, thanks to our partygoers for coming on out and watching the movie with us and sharing your thoughts after the movie. You're all champions. I think that's it for thank yous. I think that's it. Yeah, there you go. That's the episode. Thanks for listening.